Perfect. Thanks for coming to the session. Really important. I've been here and now I'm putting on a different hat. I've been in ID sessions all week, and so now I'm wearing workforce development. It's great. So for those of you who don't understand, the background is in the early 2000s, there was a significant push to build public health capacity in the United States. And this capacity building push was really fueled mostly over threats of bioterrorism, but also different types of other emerging pathogens, such at the time, one of them was West Nile virus. As that money began to flow into cities and states, each city and state decided on a different path by which that they would determine to build this capacity. In New Jersey, the approach to build capacity was in several core areas, as shown here. This was done primarily by using money to encourage states counties to hire qualified staff in several key areas within our LINCS agencies, which I'll describe in the next slide. So LINCS stands for Local Information Network Communication System, and these agencies serve the dual role as a communication conduit and as a public health response coordinator. They ensure the maintenance of communication tools and rapid dissemination of critical public health messages, as well as bringing together local health authorities, institutions, corporations, and other interested parties to coordinate the local public health response in the event of emergencies. LINCS agencies are primarily county-based, but we do have one large city that serves as a LINCS agency, and they are predominantly of three different types. The first type is a LINCS agency that is functioning at the county health department and serves the entire health jurisdiction of that county. The second type of LINCS agency is a county entity with no health jurisdiction whatsoever over the county's population. However, that need is serviced by many local health departments, which cover one or several municipalities within that health jurisdiction. Finally, you have LINCS agencies that are also seated at the county that have some jurisdiction over a particular health jurisdiction of that county population, with other local health departments serving the remainder of those towns and municipalities within that county. So now that I've provided a little bit of background on New Jersey's local public health system, I'd like to focus specifically on epidemiology position and why the centralization of this position was considered. LINCS epidemiologists provided services related to communicable disease, investigations, and outbreaks for the jurisdictions covered by that agency. In 2013, we had 23 epidemiologists functioning in this capacity. However, LINCS-based epidemiologists were problematic as local health departments' access to these epidemiologic services were often limited to those municipalities in the health jurisdictions covered by those LINCS agencies. And if you think back to the structure I just showed you on the last slide, you can understand why that was problematic. Some local health departments felt that epidemiologic services were not or less likely to be available to them if they weren't specifically serviced by the LINCS agency. In addition, epidemiologists were considered county-based assets. These resources could not be relocated or not relocated easily to deal with larger issues that were occurring in other jurisdictions. In addition, infectious disease epidemiologists is a fairly specialized area of epidemiology, and the best way to become highly skilled in this profession is through mentoring. LINCS epidemiologists were, for the most part, the only epidemiologists in their county-based structure, leaving them with little epidemiologic mentorship. NJDOH provided some mentorship and training via monthly meetings, but guidance and support at the LINCS level was very limited. This created great diversity in the level and skill of individuals providing epidemiologic services in these LINCS agencies. Finally, LINCS epidemiologists became involved in activities outside of the intended scope of this position. Things such as grants management and health planning were often given to epidemiologists as part of their routine job duties. This decreased the amount of time available to work on epidemiologic investigations and responses. LINCS epidemiologists were largely funded by federal dollars received through the Public Health Emergency Preparedness Funds, or PEP. New Jersey, like so many other cities and states, saw these funds erode over time. In the 13-14 grant cycle, New Jersey experienced a near 17% reduction in funds, with additional funding cuts expected in coming years. These types of federal cuts in funding make a system like this unsustainable without making adjustments. And over the years, the original funded positions went from being mandatory, meaning LINCS agencies had to have them as part of their staff, to many of these positions becoming optional for these LINCS agencies to have as part of their staff. But through all of this, the epidemiology and surveillance capacity was determined to be critical for these LINCS agencies to have within their midst, and we also felt that way as well. A number of options were considered to maintain this valuable resource, and centralization of these services was felt to be the best possible mechanism by which to both sustain this capacity long-term and ensure access to consistent epidemiologic capabilities for all local health departments. Centralization meant reducing the number of positions from 21 to 11 to conform with budgetary constraints, and moving these assets from the Links Agency into NJDOH. Alternative schemes to locate these assets within existing local health department structures were considered. However, it would have been difficult to decide where these assets should sit at the local level to overcome many of the previously mentioned challenges. So not to belabor the point of the timeline, but this was a very quick process for us to turn around. Once we made the decision to centralize, which occurred sometime between April and June, we assembled a team at the New Jersey Department of Health to develop strategies by which to implement this new program, as well as to assist with candidate identification. In August, we had MOA executed and positions being posted, with interviews occurring in September and October. October and November, we had positions offered, and we had 10 of 11 individuals on board by March 10th, 2014, with a full complement of staff by September. In addition to candidate selection during this time frame, this planning team that was assembled also worked to define roles and responsibilities of incoming staff and began to develop protocols and procedures to define the operation of this group and their interaction with local public health officials. Many of these protocols were shared with our stakeholders for both input and feedback. This planning committee put a great deal of time and emphasis on identifying the overarching goals of what would be this newly established program. The goals included ensuring there was a focus on communicable diseases and working to improve the quality and consistency of these investigations, ensuring appropriate and consistent training and mentorship from other epidemiologists working in infectious disease epidemiology, ensuring adequate access to epidemiologic surveillances to all local health departments, not just those that were covered by one particular health jurisdiction, and ensuring the ease of movement of these assets among and within counties. So the next slides will just cover the overall depiction of the structure of this newly created program. So from the following diagram, you can see that the newly created regional epidemiology program sits within the Communicable Disease Service and sits alongside Infectious and Zoonotic Disease Program and the Vaccine Preventable Disease Program, which was critical for us as we wanted the networking and sharing of subject matter expert knowledge with the regional epidemiology staff. The planning committee also spent a great deal of time, probably much more than I thought we would have, on discussing the best structure for this new group. The final model included placing the 11 new positions in a regional EPI program in a three-tier structure. The structure consists of an overall coordinator, the North and South regional coordinators, and 8 epidemiologists located in 5 public health regions established in New Jersey public health response regions. The number of staff positions assigned in each region is shown in parentheses under the position. And the number of staff assigned to each region was determined by assessing the number of communicable disease reports, the number of hospitals, the number of long-term care facilities, and the population that served within these regions. We did this structure because we thought that there were some benefits. This included the redundancy in response. Having North and South coordinators allowed for the fill-in of regional staff where there was a large event or individuals were on leave. There was supervision and mentorship, and that in these coordinator positions, we require a little bit more experience, and that those skills can then be passed on to some of the lower level field staff that may have a little less experience. And finally, this structure does allow us the ability to quickly move assets within regions as response requires. To the right of the structure, you also see the map of the arbitrary public health regions, and we'll talk about why that was a problem for us. So, of course, centralization did not come without issues. Locals were very upset about the loss of this position. One major concern that was presented was the loss of networking among local public health stakeholders, as it was often the epidemiologist who did the reach out to schools, long-term care facilities, and hospitals, and a number of other stakeholders. Many local health departments feared that without this epidemiology resource, the connection with these partners would be lost. While this concern about making connections is very valid, the planning team didn't believe that this was the sole responsibility of the epidemiologist, but rather a global local health function. So despite this belief, we did actually try to address this in some of our programmatic setup. Additionally, local health departments were concerned about how epidemiologic services would be requested and how they would have direct control over these assets. They were concerned about the level of services provided, especially given the varied level of services that occurred previously throughout the state. The team felt that this concern could be best addressed by crafting guidelines and protocols and keeping the channel of communications open with our partners. Lastly, local health departments were simply upset about losing a full FTE and how this would impact their day-to-day jobs. So, while I'm sure we haven't addressed fully all of the concerns, I think the program has come a long way in 18 months. We have had a lot of growing pains, but we've had a lot of successes and, of course, some challenges along the way. So we recognize the need that each local health department is very different. Each area is different, as we described. Some are county health departments, some are multiple local health jurisdictions. Some health departments expected the same service as under the old system. Some expected more. And for some, they weren't really sure what their role was, particularly in outbreak responses or public health important investigations. Initially, we got a lot of, my epi did that. And even though we thought it was really the responsibility of local disease investigators, they weren't familiar with how to respond in those particular issues because their epi always took care of that stuff. And so there was some training for us to do there. Services were initially divided up into arbitrary public health regions that may actually not capture the needs of those particular regions from an epi perspective. Some regions had more communicable disease issues and had more resource-strapped local health departments, and they may require more epidemiologic services and training. And as we've come in, we've tried to train them and work with them to bring up their level of skill. And despite all the efforts put forth by the regional epi program to address concerns and issues raised, some locals will continue to resist the notion of centralization because it's not the old system and they lost staff. Finally, as difficult as it's been with the local health departments, it's been an adjustment within the New Jersey Department of Health Communicable Disease Service, defining the roles and responsibilities of the regional epi staff. Because within NJDOH, we have a little bit of a difference between where the subject matter experts epidemiology leave off and where the regional epi program kicks in. And so we're still working through some of those challenges. As far as successes, the regional epi program has established a team of well-trained epidemiologists. These individuals were brought in, and in a very short period of time, were functioning within the region. The staff, as I mentioned, work side by side with the subject matter experts, and this mechanism, along with the programmatic structure that we set up, has allowed for great mentorship and supervision of this new staff. Would have been able to address some of the concerns raised by our local health departments prior to centralization by establishing a regular presence within our local health department. While staff are primarily based out of the NJDOH offices in Trenton, New Jersey, we request that our staff spend at least one day per week out of the office interfacing with our local health partners. These activities range from field visits to formalized meetings with stakeholders to drop-in visits with our local health departments. We've made inroads with many health departments who are hesitant to participate in investigation by working alongside them and by supporting them throughout the investigative process. The program has also established numerous mechanisms and protocols which describes our role in certain communicable disease responses, both within NJDOH and within the local health agency. These protocols also address some issues with how to request epidemiologic support in certain circumstances. One example is a protocol that was developed for immediately reportable conditions and outbreak response. This defines the roles of subject matter experts, the regional epi program, and local health departments in these responses. Other documents have also been created to address communication and staff request protocols. We also established a mechanism to offer routine communicable disease trainings to our local health departments. This ranges from quarterly communicable disease meetings to individual training requests that are fulfilled when a local health department requests things on a specific topic, so Ebola and foodborne or camp outbreaks or something like that. So the takeaway messages for us in New Jersey, for those of you who may be going through similar strides, are the following. You simply can't make everyone happy. Someone will be upset that they lost a position. Someone will be upset because they don't have the same level of service. Some will be upset that you're asking them to do a job that they really should have been doing all along. And in the end, you have to know that you're happy doing the best you can to provide the best services you thought are feasible with the resources that you have available. There is not a one-size-fits-all approach to public health services. Arbitrary boundaries that make sense for one purpose, in this case, public health planning, may not be what we can use for epidemiologic services. We have, in our program in the last few months, we've been conducting an assessment of epidemiologic need and a better way to define what public health regions are needed for epidemiologic capacity. So we were able to assign more staff to higher burden areas, and this may not be a public health region as they're currently designed. With any new system, many want everything spelled out in guidelines and protocols. Some make sense to write and others don't. And if you try to meet every demand, you'll do nothing but write protocols day in and day out. You need to be thoughtful about what you're writing and ask yourself if it makes sense to write what you're writing. And despite all the criticism, you need to go back to the reason it made sense to do this in the first place. For us, it was to provide a competent workforce who was providing consistent communicable disease epidemiology capacity. This is what we fall back on when we struggle to find the balance between the push and pull of making everyone happy. So on my acknowledgement slide, this is the entire team of the regional EPI program as it currently exists. And much of the struggles and trials and tribulations of the program and the reason we've been so successful is really for these individuals, and I'm just kind of the mouthpiece. So I really do thank everybody here, and I'll take any questions.
When you mentioned that under the Link agency that if you were involved in activities out of their scope, was there like a common activity perhaps that was out of their scope that you saw happening? I guess I'm asking more specifically too.
There actually wasn't one common activity. I think what happened was as we put the staff in there, these were very highly trained epidemiologists. They're very smart individuals. And I think what we found is that when we were asking county health departments or local health departments to do particular activities where they didn't have resources, they turned to that smart person to do them. So it ended up being a lot of grants management, a lot of health planning assessments. They were getting involved in things like chronic disease. Well, they were being paid to do communicable disease work, but they were involved in chronic disease services. And so it was really outside of that scope. And I think in every county, it was a little bit different. Some of them actually got involved in none of those and actually did a lot of EPI work. Others did nothing, did very little EPI work and a lot of the other stuff. And so one of the things that we wanted to try to streamline with this process was really to try to bring the consistency up across and really focus on communicable disease investigations.
All right, thanks for that. I have two questions. The first one is, these 11 folks you've got, were they already in their positions when they were reconsolidated into the central?
Some of them were, and some of them were not. So of the current staff, we have 4 of the 11 individuals who served in a county-based epidemiologic role. The remainder are new staff to our program. Some of the staff who had been epidemiologists within the field in local health departments, despite local health departments not receiving their funding, they were actually maintained within the local health department. So we actually have, even though we lost capacity in some areas, they've actually gained capacity and that they maintain their epidemiologists on non-federal funding dollars.
Sorry, my name is Damian from Cook County. I have a shop with about 32 people, all of whom are unionized. Does that factor in any of your, I'm the only one not in was that an issue for you at all?
It was not for us. I know that there was a bit of a struggle in some of the county-based workforce because there were some folks, they are unionized. But many of them, their contracts are contingent upon funding. So if the funding was removed from our level, it meant that they could, in fact, be laid off. They lost their, most of their contracts say contingent upon federal funding. And so, again, some of them were maintained, some of them were lost, and some of them were absorbed. The positions that we created are contractual positions. They're actually not state-based positions. They're actually part of our university School of Public Health, and so they're actual contractual with that School of Public Health, but work for the department. It's one of those ways that our department, for good or bad, has found ways to bring staffing in without actually creating state-based positions, which are considered politically a no-no.
Hi, Kim Rudd, Washington County, Oregon. Are there no non-CD EBBYs in your state? Who does the non-CD work?
We do have non-communicable disease EBBYs. Most of that work is not done at the local level. A lot of that is done at a state-based level. There is some of that being done at the local health department level, but they're not overseen by that epidemiologist. Again, these were part of public health preparedness funds, and so most of it was focused on BT agents, communicable diseases, and that's where that funding level comes from. And so it's not to say that they're not there. It's just that they weren't. That wasn't the purpose of this, even from the early funding pots. Thank you.